It's January, time to tackle those New Year's resolutions. What do you want to achieve? Feel your best, conquer your goals. Let me share my personal experience with MightyPure from Timeline Nutrition. As someone who loves to stay active, I've noticed a significant boost in my workouts since I started taking it. I feel stronger and more energized, and my recovery time has improved dramatically. Imagine having the energy to tackle every challenge that comes your way. MightyPure is a game changer. It contains urolithin A, a rare postbiotic that promotes cellular renewal. MightyPure is the only urolithin A supplement on the market clinically proven to target the effects of age-related cellular decline. MightyPure addresses common signs of aging at the root. So if you want to support your cellular health and achieve your goals for 2025, MightyPure is offering a rare deep discount to get your 2025 started right. This month only, get 33% off MightyPure. Just go to timeline.com/Hoffman33. That's timeline.com/Hoffman33 for 33% off MightyPure. MightyPure is your scientifically backed ally in the quest for slowing down the aging process. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're going to talk all things menopause, because menopause is a real speed bump for a lot of women. For some women, they seem to be relatively unscathed, but for a lot of women, they have a lot of challenges. There's weight gain, there's mood problems, all kinds of issues, hot flashes, and so on. Today, we're going to talk to an expert on the subject of menopause. She is a board-certified OBGYN. She's actually triple board certified. In addition, she has credentials in anti-aging and regenerative medicine, and special certifications in functional medicine, sexual health, and bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, which for some women is a fix, but doesn't necessarily have to be. Dr. Anna Kabeka is author of Menopause. It's a book about a dietary approach to menopause. And so without further ado, here's Dr. Kabeka. Anna, it's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine. Thanks very much for joining us today.
It's an honor to be here with you, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great, my great pleasure. And please call me Ron. You were trained conventionally. You went through arduous training and probably birthed a lot of babies and had a lot of sleepless nights during your residency and fellowship training in OBGYN. But then you took a turn towards a more natural approach to women's health problems. So tell us a little bit about your personal journey.
Yeah, happy to. And I would say I've birthed a lot of babies, birthed four of my own as well, Ron. So it has been a journey, and probably 500 other blessings into this world, if not so many more. And most recently, I was able to deliver my firstborn grandchild, my firstborn granddaughter.
Wow.
And just amazing opportunity to do that delivery just this year. So there's a saying that says that your mess becomes your message. Well, in my case, that certainly is. And going from conventional, I trained as an osteopathic physician. So I had a very holistic upbringing, and I really believed in, the physical aspects of every part of the body is connected to the other. And I was drawn to the osteopathic approach of medicine from that hands-on learning type of situation. And then I went to train in gynecology and obstetrics at Emory University. And I would say one of the best institutions in the world, right? But when I came out into my own private practice and as a solo OBGYN in oral health, because I was a National Health Service Corps scholar, so basically I got thrown into...
like a real country doc. Yeah.
Yeah, like a real country doc. And it was really just so many amazing aspects to that. But being the one-all and often sometimes the only physician that they've seen, or the only... certainly OBGYN specialty physician they've seen, let alone female physician. And so I learned very quickly that I needed to add tools to my doctor's bag, but never as quickly as when at age 39, I was diagnosed with early menopause, infertility, and told I would never be able to have another child naturally.
But you already had four, so there was some consolation to that fact. Oh, three. Okay.
I had three. Oh. Yep, I had three at that point.
Oh.
And so
that was more to the story.
Part of the story, yeah. And so as part of that, you know, in trauma, because we lost our youngest son, our only son, in a tragic accident. So it was post-traumatic induced early menopause, that is not described in our medical literature anywhere. Uh-huh. And so didn't know that reversing menopause was possible, but I went on to prove it was, at age 41, had reversed menopause and naturally conceived the child I was told I would never be able to have. So at age 41. And so now I'm age 56 and she's soon to be 15. And it's an exciting time in our life. And but since that journey, really learned to understand, okay, how, you know, what were the steps that enabled my ovaries to function again normally? What was the process that I had to take to do that? And once I figured that out for myself, I figured it out for my patients as well. And that's why I'm so passionate about what I do. And my first book is called The Hormone Fix, and I always say it takes more than hormones to fix your hormones. And so from there, really elaborated on my approach, which I call the Keto Green approach or the Keto Green way. And I'm passionate because oftentimes, you know, as physicians, we give out a diagnosis, we write a prescription, but I want everyone listening to really hear that your, you know, diagnosis is not your destiny and your prescription is not your description.
Well, there are clues a little bit to the dietary connection to menopause symptoms by looking around the world. And you did that. You took a little bit of a anthropological journey looking at women around the world to determine if there was a dietary connection to menopause symptoms. And one of the things that I've noticed is that, you know, when you talk to women from different parts of the world, you talk to women from Japan and Asia, and you talk to them about hot flashes, and they kind of draw a blank. They're not even sure what you mean. You know, hot flashes are not a big symptom of menopause over there, whereas they're highly prevalent in the West. So did that study and that exploration lead you to some conclusions about the relationship between diet and menopause?
Oh my gosh, so much of it, right? So much of it, not just what we're eating, but when we're eating and how often we're eating or what time of day we're eating. I mean, so many variations to that. But in my book, Menopause, because oftentimes we get stuck in a certain way of doing things. And I definitely have seen that in my own practices, but also in so many patients. We get on these diet plans and we get in these camps, so to speak, and we don't deviate and we need to. We need to change things up. And that's what menopause is about. I always like to say there's, you know, magic in the pauses of your life. And through my journeys and traveling around the world and experiencing other cultures, I wanted to incorporate some of that into the meal plans, into the five different meal plans in menopause, because certain like cultures have, I mean, I would say in the United States, we have the most symptomatic menopause experience than anywhere else in the world. If you look at our numbers and you look at the number of prescriptions we're on over age 50 and et cetera. So we're really, you know, haven't done well for menopausal women in this country. And food is the first medicine. So I wanted to incorporate that in from the best practices around the world, adding some flavor and fun into menopause.
Well, it seems that the way you formulate it is that there's no single solution to menopause. It has to be highly individualized. And in fact, you came up with five distinct different plans that correspond to different menopause types, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, for menopause roadblocks, let's say. So the five different menu plans, we walk through them. They all pause something. So the first plan is what I call my Keto Green Extreme plan. It follows my Keto Green principles. For those of you who are new to that, you may have heard about keto, and we always talk about keto dirty versus keto clean, and Keto Green is keto clean. So the way we do it, I incorporate plant-based foods as well as, you know, again, very clean, organic, grass-fed, free-range, but also using fermented foods, herbs and spices to really balance out your hormones, empower your detoxification system, and be low inflammatory. very low inflammatory, which is so important during this time of our lives. And then the first plan, Keto Green Extreme, also pauses nightshade. So it really follows an autoimmune protocol, because many people don't realize that some of these foods can be causing inflammation. They can be the most healthiest foods, but they're inflammatory to your body. So that's what these pauses will go through. So the first one follows more of an autoimmune protocol. It's perfect if you have, you know, certain autoimmune disease like Hashimoto's or MS. And then the second plan is a plant-based keto green plan. So again, low in carbs, which is hard for so many of my vegan and vegetarian eaters. They often eat way too many carbs. Mm-hmm. So this gives them a low carb experience. But I also want our, you know, omnivores to have experience the plant-based plan, because the number one issue with keto type diets or carnivore diets is the decrease in the diversity of our gut bacteria, which affects our health. The more diverse gut bacteria we have, or the more diversity to our microbiome, the more resilient we are, the better immune system, the lower cancer rates. This has been shown in study after study. So, and population analysis. So I think that was really, and plus one of the big side effects of many people doing a change in diet, either the standard American diet or a keto diet, is constipation. It's such a big problem that people don't even realize. If you're not having one or two bowel movements a day, that is constipated.
And it has an impact on estrogen, right? Because constipation is associated with improper breakdown of excess estrogen, right?
Absolutely. And plus the detoxification of estrogen down the appropriate pathways, that is so important. And when we're constipated, we're reabsorbing toxins.
And so many women are, and it actually can get worse as you get older, and menopause sometimes. There's a quantum leap in your susceptibility to constipation often.
Yeah. And I always tell, and plus I'm a gynecologist, so the effects of constipation on the pelvic floor, that can worsen prolapse, rectocele, mm-hmm. Cystocele, you know, it can be associated with more hemorrhoids and fissures as we get older. I mean, so there's a lot to benefit from eating a plant-based plan and getting rid of constipation. But also, as the pendulum swings, many people's digestions are so torn up. And again, I would say many of the pesticides, herbicides, chemicals, preservatives, things like that have destroyed our gut lining and destroyed our digestive enzymes. And so going to another, like I always say, the pendulum swings, the third plan in menu pause is a carnivore plan. So that is a very healthy nose-to-tail carnivore plan that's very healthy and tasty, but it also is, again, very low inflammatory. So again, giving people experiences, very healthy, very diverse, you know, experiences with, you know, these five different six-day menu plans to help them on their journey, because you never know what's blocking them.
You seem to be saying that you can eat low-carb, but there are variations on the theme. Some are more animal protein laden, you know, perhaps where animal protein may restore energy or provide neurotransmitter building blocks. That may be important for some women, but on the other hand, for some women, they may want to go low carb, but very plant-based with fairly minimal amounts of animal fat. Am I correctly interpreting that?
Yeah. And that's kind of like the two ends of the spectrum, with like keto green being in between. So that combination, you've got good, you know, good animal fats and meat and good plant-based combined together on, you know, and then the extremes are the complete plant-based keto green and the complete carnivore mm-hmm. plan.
And how is it that we can determine what diet is suitable? Is it a matter of trial and error, or are there guidelines in the book that help to point people to the appropriate diet?
Yeah, there are definitely guidelines in the book. And plus, I tell you, you know, here's the bit, you know, if you are suffering with these things or struggling with these issues, this may be the best plan to start. I also have a quick and easy quiz, and I can give that link if you'd like.
Sure. Please do.
It's at dranna.com. So dranna.com/MP quiz. So for menu pause quiz, MP quiz. DrAnna.com/MP quiz. And you do that quiz and it will give you a guideline on where, you know, what would be the best plan to start or what might be your next right step.
Let's try that again, because I'd like to post that in our show notes. So it's dranna.com/...
dranna.com/MP quiz.
Okay, great. That's not as difficult as it sounds. Okay. MP quiz. Okay, very good. So we'll post that on our show notes. Okay, so for some women, carbohydrates are necessary. And, you know, with all the popularity of low-carb diets, it's not always the case that people thrive on them. And I think you give recognition to that fact. And it appears that some women, when denied carbohydrates, they really go into kind of a downer phase. It seems to sometimes trigger depression. And the thought is that maybe carbohydrates help with serotonin formulation. That's one of the concepts that has been introduced, because in order to shuttle some of these building blocks for serotonin in the brain, you need some carbs. And when you go cold turkey on carbs, it can really be problematic.
I agree completely. And I would say, again, that also feeds into the diversity of the gut microbiome.
That too.
When you don't have the good plant-based micronutrients, that feeds the microbiome, which is responsible for more serotonin than the brain, production of more serotonin than the brain. So yeah, I completely agree with that. Plus, there's a benefit to this carb cycling as well. And what I found in working again with, you know, tens of thousands of people now in my online communities is that sometimes I had to bump them up in their carbs. So in one of the menu plans, the fifth menu plan in MenuPause is a carb up plan. It is like adding sweet potatoes, it's adding some legumes, and it's adding some more of the higher carbs. And often my, you know, if you've been carb restricted for a while, it really does help to cycle in the carbs. And for some people, they feel better, they sleep better, they have more energy, and it was just what their body needed for a short pause.
Indeed.
For a short pause.
So different strokes for different folks, clearly.
At different times. It's never the same thing every day.
And where does soy fit into this? Because soy has been touted as something that can help with hot flashes. But on the other hand, it's a problem food for many people vis-a-vis digestion, vis-a-vis the fact that a lot of the soy is GMO, laced with glyphosate, and or, you know, people have soy allergy. And then the hormonal effects are well known. Some people are concerned that, you know, maybe we shouldn't be amping up these plant-based estrogens during menopause, but for some, it seems to help.
Right. Absolutely. It does. And I would say the type, like, no, you know, not all soy is created equal. So non-GMO fermented soy is the best form. And a little, you know, and again, it's not something we should be eating every day, like nix the soy milk every day, nix the, you know, soy products every day, the meat substitutes in soy, but incorporate it periodically. And I think that can be beneficial. It's just, you know, I think for many reasons, the digestive issues, the, you know, look, I have some recipes in my book, MenuPause and the plant-based plan. I have tempeh tacos. And let me tell you, like, I don't like tempeh. I mean, so I really have to flavor it up. And what came to my mind that I paused and I didn't say is just sometimes you just got, you know, the taste issues with soy, you know, and you really have to flavor it up to make it taste good, but use different sources of protein. Don't get stuck on one source of protein and change that. And soy has been shown to improve the estrogen detoxification pathways. And again, soy isoflavones, again, it's hard to get too much of them, but still it depends on your body's digestion. So I like to, you know, maybe it's for me in my life and with my family, we'll have like tempeh or miso or tofu, maybe twice a month, not very often.
Mm-hmm.
But for some people, I know it's more part of their life to get protein. So I did balance that out in my plant-based recipes in MenuPause. But I prefer to really, you know, get variety for the protein sources we're using.
And it sounds like, you know, when it comes to supplements, you're not a big fan of soy isoflavone supplements, genistein and diazine, or red clover. Those are sometimes proposed as a way to address hot flashes. Can they be used in certain circumstances or?
Yeah, they can absolutely be used in certain people. And I think that's a really big, those are beneficial. I will start with maca. I use my maca plus like supplement. Maca. I love maca. It's adaptogenic. So if you're an overdrive or underdrive, you can get significant benefits from it. So I always start there. And again, for hot, the combination of the 30 superfoods that are in my Mighty Maca Plus supplement includes turmeric, quercetin, resveratrol, cat's claw herb. So there's all these adaptogens, as well as chlorella and spirulina for detoxification. So, and enzymes for digestion and also for detoxification and inflammation. So I have a combination because I never found one thing that was, you know, that was the end all be all. It's always, in my experience, a combination of things. So it's never a one angle, but specifically in working with hot flashes and mood swings, also fish oils, you know, like needing to have enough omega-3s. It's beneficial. I also like chase tree berry extract, whether it's PMS issues, menstrual, heavy menses. Black cohosh is one of the, it has been proven scientifically to help as well. And DIM is another one that I use for detoxification.
Diindolmethane, right.
So diindolmethane. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so these
are those are some of my favorite.
Mm-hmm. And so for our listeners, you have a practice based in Texas, is that correct?
I live in Texas, but I do physician-to-physician consults now, and all my programs, et cetera, are online. My Magic Menopause program, my Girlfriend Doctor Club. So I do everything online now.
And how does the public access you? They can contact you remotely, or you can participate in programs online?
Yep, absolutely. And all that information's at my website at dranna.com.
Okay. It's Anna Cabeca, C-A-B-E-C-A. Great, Dr. Anna.
It's easy just to go to Dr. Anna, DRANNA.com, takes you right there.
Okay, perfect. All right, we're going to pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. In part two, I want to tackle the elephant in the room, excuse the pun, which is menopausal weight gain. What are some strategies to address that? Also, we're going to talk a little more about supplements, but specifically, one of Dr. Cabeca's expertises is in bioidentical hormones. We're going to talk about when they're appropriate, what are the upsides, what are the downsides. That is a very, very important aspect of comprehensive menopause management. Not always necessary, but it can be really decisive in addressing the symptoms of menopause. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, our guest, Dr. Anna Cabeca. And we'll be right back with more of today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast.